The Bible says the Word of God illuminates our walk through life. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Without it, we stumble and fall. In the Market with Janet Parshall is designed to help you look at the headlines of the day through the lens of Scripture.
Oh God, suppose a man could work for his salvation. But the Bible says you can't work for it. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can work your fingers to the bone doing good works, but that will not save your soul. You are not saved by works. Suppose a man could pay for it. Suppose you had $1 billion tonight. Suppose you were the richest man in the world, and you gave it all to charity, or you gave it all to God. Would you go to heaven? Not unless you'd come to the cross. Because you see, if you could have bought your way, or if you could have worked your way, or if you could have schemed your way to heaven, Jesus would have never gone to the cross. That night, God would have said, Jesus, you don't have to go to the cross. But God could not say that to his son. There was no other way.
I am so thankful for the technology that has preserved these sermons by Dr. Billy Graham. You know, so straightforward, so crystal clear, so compelling. He lets the truth of God's word just woo people right to the foot of the cross. He is, without a doubt, America's greatest evangelist. And we're going to talk about him this next half hour. Dr. Billy Graham is the subject, but my guest is Terry Whaling. Excuse me, Terry. Who's an editor and an author of more than 60 books. He's written for more than 50 magazines, including being the former editor of Decision Magazine, which is the publication of the Billy Graham Association. And he put this book together. So, Terry, I have to ask you, you write a biography. You're going to study Billy Graham. You're thinking everything that's ever been said about this man and all of the biographies that's ever been written about this man. I'm sure it's going to be, well, in the words of Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again. But I know it's not. So what's the most interesting thing you found out about Billy Graham in writing this book?
Well, Janet, it's just an honor to be with you today and talk about somebody that I really love, Billy Graham. I learned a lot of interesting facts about Billy Graham, but I guess one of the most important things to me is that throughout his whole life story, his integrity, his commitment to Christ is just been steadfast throughout that. And it's a great character example, I think, for all of us. His commitment to prayer, all those things just really stand out of his life.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So talk to me about getting an education. How important was it to Billy? And what kind of, let me back up before I go to the education. At what point did he say to himself, I think God is calling me to be an evangelist? Was this a heart cry in his life, even as a young boy?
Well, I don't know that it was a heart cry so much as a young boy. He didn't come to faith till, you know, he was a young man, you know, sort of in high school. But, you know, it was a growing sensation, I guess, is the way I'd look at it. He, you know, at first saw that he was going to be a preacher, so he went to, you know, Florida Bible College to learn how to do those things. And everybody just thinks that he instantly walked into the pulpit and could preach all these sermons. But, you know, he prepared for his very first sermon. He actually prepared four different sermons, and he got up and did it in about 10 minutes, which is kind of normal, you know, for most of us to do that kind of thing. And but he had to learn, you know, all these different skills that he developed over the years to bring people to Christ all over the world. I mean, no one has preached the gospel face-to-face more than he's done it more than anybody else on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Terry, clearly, I don't think there's a person within the sound of our voice who knows of Billy Graham or ever went to a crusade or ever heard him preach who can't say clearly this was a gifting from the Lord. Do you have any idea when Billy himself recognized that that's how God had gifted him?
I don't know that I can pin it on a specific date, but I do know that, you know, he's had the same doubts and the same struggles that all of us have as as Christians, and he did have a dark night of the soul that I can tell you about, kind of thing.
Please do. Yes.
You know, he was one of the youngest Bible college presidents in the country back then. People don't even remember that he was a president of Northwestern Seminary, which is why, based in Minneapolis, which is why the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was there for so many years. But he was invited to speak at Forest Home. Henrietta Mears had him there. He was the youngest Bible college president to speak to that group. But late that night, he wandered out into the San Bernardino Mountains and got down on his knees and put his Bible on a stump and said, God, there's some really strange, different stories, that are here between the pages of these books, but I'm going to take it by faith, and I'm going to believe every word that's in your word and just accept it by faith. And I think that's the jump that all of us have to do with our faith walk. We have to finally believe that all those stories in the Bible are true.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you not think that that was more than just that dark night of the soul, as you so beautifully put it, Terry, that it was really sort of a seminal moment, that if he was going to take by faith what God had said, that that would be a northern star in his relationship with the Lord going forward?
Absolutely. And you can see that throughout his career, he's faithfully preached all of the scriptures and told those Bible stories, but used those as tools to bring people to Christ.
That's wonderful. Let me just linger with his childhood a little bit, because I love to discover new things, and there are always new things to learn. The fact that he was a practical joker, talk to me about that.
Yeah, most people don't really realize that. I mean, back then he rode the school bus to school, and there was a way on the school bus when you jumped out of the bus that you could turn a little lever underneath the bus, and that would cut off the gas to the bus. So Billy would jump off the bus, wave to his friends and everybody on the bus, and the bus would go roaring down the way, but only a little ways till the engine sputtered and stopped. So yes, he was known for doing those kind of practical pranks as a kid growing up on a dairy farm there in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow. So now let me go back to the education question, because you decide that you're going to get some education. Usually it's training for a specific task, or for some it's for a specific calling. When Billy started his training, did he know what he was going to end up doing?
Yeah, I don't think he really did. I think, he admired a lot of pastors, and so he went to Florida Bible College there for a while, and then he ultimately landed it in Wheaton, at Wheaton Bible College, and that's where he studied there. Graduating from Wheaton, Wheaton was his time when he met Ruth, and they got married, and they actually took a little pastorate there just outside of Chicago for a while. He was preaching in a church, and not sure if that's where he was really going to stay or not, but he got invited to start doing evangelistic meetings at Youth for Christ. And it was really through those Youth for Christ evangelistic meetings that I think awakened the whole evangelism calling in his own life. And this is before the big crusades in Los Angeles and in the late 40s, all that kind of thing. And so that sort of launched him, I think, being with the Youth for Christ people.
Exactly. How integral was Ruth to his ministry? Because, he was a force to be reckoned with, and is. And Ruth obviously had some tremendous strengths in her own right. How'd they make their marriage work, do you think?
She was an integral force in the whole Graham family there. I mean, you can imagine, Janet, at that time, they didn't just do one or two night crusades. I mean, they'd be gone for weeks at a time. And they had five kids. And so Ruth was really the glue that kept the family and the kids and everybody on track. But they always talk about how whenever Daddy came home, that was a great, great event, when he would come back from all these meetings and be there. So, she was a very important part. And she was raised in China, and
yes,
she thought that she was going to be going over there as a missionary. That was her what her bent was early on, but she had to change as God made other plans for her and Billy Graham to get together.
Exactly. One of my favorite quotes of hers, that she was asked once, would she ever consider divorcing Billy Graham? And she said, divorce, no. Murder, yes.
Yes.
Talk to me about what the Modesto Manifesto was and why that was so important.
Well, the Modesto Manifesto was just a set of guidelines that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association came up with in the early days of their ministry. And they were foundational principles that they passed on to other groups, like the Luis Palau Evangelistic Association and other groups, but are really foundational for them today. So, for example, a lot of evangelists back at that period in U.S. history would just come in and bring people to Jesus, and then they'd leave. They'd go on to the next meeting. Well, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association decided that they were always going to work with the local church. They were going to train people. They were going to plug people into the local church so that as they came to Christ, they could continue to grow in their faith.
Wow. Terry Whalen is with us. Terry is an editor and an author of more than 60 books. He's written for more than 50 magazines, and he joins us today because he's penned Billy Graham, a biography of America's greatest evangelist. More with Terry, and we'll learn more about Billy Graham right after this.
In 1 Peter 2, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the cross. Then in Peter, it says, Christ also once suffered the sin, the just for the unjust. But the cross was not the end. They buried him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And the scripture says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is when you come to Christ, and then the coming again of Jesus.
Amen and amen. So isn't that interesting? I purposely bookend this so you hear the real fire in his voice, the first part of his career, and here he is several years later. And while the fire of his voice is not there, the strength of the message remains. I think that's why Terry Whalen is absolutely right when he says he is America's greatest evangelist. Terry is an editor and an author of more than 60 books. He's written for more than 50 magazines. He was a former editor of Decision Magazine, which is a publication of the Billy Graham Association, and we're so glad that he's with us. So, Terry, let me fast forward now, because we've got the crusades in the States. We've got the meetings that he's had globally as well. I'd be hard-pressed to say, is there a country that he hasn't preached in? But because I'm talking to you from the shadow of the nation's capital, I want to talk about the fact that from Harry Truman to Barack Obama, he has met with every single president. Things got a little difficult with Richard Nixon. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, Richard Nixon, particularly when the Watergate tapes came out and we learned the salty language that Richard Nixon had in the White House, even though he was raised Quaker. But Mr. Graham maintained his relationship with Richard Nixon throughout his life, and actually preached at Richard Nixon's funeral. So he has, even though there may be bumps along the road with some of these relationships with these different people, he did maintain his relationship with every single president throughout his life.
Exactly. So, Terry, that raises an interesting question, and that is, it's historically substantiated that not every one of those presidents, from Harry Truman to Barack Obama, necessarily shared his worldview about sin and the atonement work of Christ and the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how did he get foray into the Oval Office? Why would these men of power want to meet with Billy Graham? What was the attraction there?
Well, you can imagine, Janet, Billy Graham's one of the most admired men in America. So if the president got a chance to meet with somebody like Billy Graham, they'd say yes. And that's exactly how Barack Obama met with him. Barack Obama is the only president of the United States that's actually met with Billy Graham in his home, because Mr. Graham isn't traveling and as visible of a public figure as he is, as he was back then. And so they were... The Obama family was vacationing in Asheville, close to where Mr. Graham lives, and they asked him if he'd like to come meet with Billy Graham. He said, absolutely. And so they made this meeting, and they both prayed for each other in this little private meeting that they had together.
Wow. Boy, that's one thing to be able to say. I don't have to go to presidents. Presidents come and visit me. But again, it was for the sake of the cross. That's why Dr. Graham wanted to meet with every single one of these people. So moving beyond the United States to the other side of the pond, I was fascinated to read about an interaction between Billy Graham and Winston Churchill. Share that with our friends.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Winston Churchill in 10 Downing Street wanted Billy Graham to come visit him because he had heard that night after night in London, Mr. Graham was filling these huge crusades with people. And Winston Churchill didn't really understand why in the world were people coming to these meetings night after night and filling these crusades. And so Mr. Graham did go to 10 Downing Street there and met with Winston Churchill. And they had the opportunity to, again, to talk about spiritual things, to pray together. Mr. Graham didn't miss a beat when he had that opportunity with world leaders to talk to them about their own spiritual condition.
Wow. That was one of his hallmarks, absolutely. Another thing about the Crusades, Terry, was that it was very much his belief that when you came into a town, you had to have the work and the support of the churches there. In fact, if that wasn't going to happen, then they weren't going to bring a crusade into their town, which sets New York apart. Talk to me about why New York was particularly a challenge for him.
Well, New York was a challenge there in Madison Square Garden because that wasn't like a three-night meeting. I mean, they were going like six weeks, you know, at a time. And every night, Mr. Graham had to have a different message because there were some people that would come night after night. And so he had to have, you know, prepare new messages every time. Also, all the languages that are there in New York City, they had to have translations and all those kinds of things. And this was in the 50s, so they had to figure out how to do those kinds of things with different groups that spoke different languages. It was quite a challenge to pull that off and to do it night after night for weeks at a time, not just like a four-night meeting or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if you know Jesus Christ, there's going to be all kinds of things that you're going to say, this was an indelible mark that Dr. Billy Graham left in my life. If you were not a follower yet of Jesus Christ, what kind of an impression do you think those who don't yet know Jesus as their Savior are going to think about Billy Graham?
Well, I think, you know, reading my book, Janet, they're going to get the inside story about Billy Graham. Kids can read this book. I think it's just an enlightening thing for all kinds of age groups.
I couldn't agree more. Terry, thank you so much for being with us. The book is called Billy Graham, A Biography of America's Greatest Evangelist. It's well worth the read, by the way. A person who had such a profound impact on our world. You can learn more at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org, both about Billy Graham's book that Terry has written and about Terry himself. So I commend it to you. And while you're on our Facebook page, or our Facebook page is In the Market with Janet Parshall, like us there. Always put stuff there. But when you're on the website, I'll get all of this tech down. Answer our question of the week, which I'd love to hear from you. And check out this month's Truth Tool. It's yours for a gift of any amount. And I thank you so much for joining us, friends. We'll see you next time right here on In the Market with Janet Parshall.